it's up to you and me to shine a guiding light and lead the way. United by our cause, we have the power to pursue what we believe. We'll achieve the realization of our dreams.
Hi, welcome to this edition of New Horizons. I'm Vaughan Bennison. Thanks for your company. This week, we look again at audio description. You'll remember that a couple of weeks ago, I read out an email from Lauren Henley, who's an advocacy officer with Blind Citizens Australia. This was about lobbying senators in relation to the Broadcast Amendment Bill, which was supposed to have been settled during last week. That's been delayed. Lauren joins us to discuss. Lauren, welcome back.
Thanks, Vaughan. Great to be here.
A couple of weeks ago, I read an email that you'd sent to a few of the blindness email lists about the Broadcast Amendment Bill, which was to come up before the Senate, but there's been some changes to that.
Yeah, there's been a lot of changes to that over the past couple of weeks. So it was meant to come before the Senate, I think, during the most recent sitting period, which was on the 9th of September, and we were hoping it would still come before the Senate in that sitting period, but it's been deferred until the Senate will next meet again on the 4th of September. So what it means is there's a bit more time for us to be lobbying the opposition and also the crossbench to try and get some sort of provisions for audio description built into that Broadcast Amendment Bill.
I'm interested in the fact that you're saying that we should be lobbying the independents and the opposition. Why not the government directly?
Well, we have been lobbying the government directly, and it's certainly still worth doing that. We'd encourage listeners and BCA members to be writing or calling senators' offices, the Liberal Party as well, but they've set up an audio description working group, which Blind Citizens Australia is represented on. And they are saying that that is the solution to the lack of audio description on Australian television. We don't really think that that is a sufficient solution to this problem, because we've been told from day one that regulation by way of putting provisions for audio description into legislation is off the table for discussion at that working group. And to our way of thinking, we've been advocating for audio description on TV for some 20 years. We've lodged a lot of disability discrimination complaints against both commercial and public broadcasters. So we don't think this is going to happen just by the goodwill of broadcasters alone. It's not going to happen through an industry-led approach, which is what the Liberal Party is pushing for. We need a regulatory approach. And in order to do that, we need to go outside of the working group that's currently been established.
Have they given any indication as to why this should be treated so differently? Because that's certainly not the approach the government took in the 90s when they first discussed captioning.
No, that's exactly right. And there are provisions for captioning for people who are deaf or hearing impaired built into the Broadcasting Services Act already. There have been for several years now. And that's the argument we're putting forward, that the needs of Australians who are blind or vision impaired should be treated as equally important. And we're not really sure why they're taking a different approach. It seems that they're looking at the technical barriers that are in the way and not really how they can be resolved and overcome. So they're not willing to put regulation in place until they've worked through some of those technical complexities. But we feel that in order for broadcasters to commit to working through those issues, they need to know that there's a firm requirement for them to do this at some point in the future. They're not just going to do it out of goodwill.
You were calling for people to lobby their local senators and their local politicians. Is that still the case, or is there some other avenue that people might take now to lobby people and to get this to happen?
No, it absolutely is still the right approach to take. It's been really heartening to see how many Blind Citizens Australia members have gotten behind this campaign. Every time I speak to a senator's office, I'm told that they've received numerous phone calls and emails about the issue of audio description already. So we know that people have been really heavily involved in contacting senators, and I thank members for their participation in the campaign, because really what we're trying to do is demonstrate consumer demand and show the Senate as a whole that audio description is something that will benefit the community more broadly, and it's something that there's a lot of demand for. So that's still the approach we need to take. We can't lose momentum. Just because we've gotten that message across the line once doesn't mean it will stick with senators. They have a lot of competing priorities they need to balance, and so we need to keep being really vocal about it.
There's a list on the BCA website, I'm given to understand, of all of the senators that one should contact if one is keen to ensure that audio description happens in this country. Because I remind you once again that Australia is the only so-called first world country that doesn't have audio description.
That's right. The only English-speaking OECD country that doesn't have audio description. So we're a long way behind, and we've got a lot of catching up to do. And it's appalling that there's Australian programs like Home and Away and Neighbours, for example, that are broadcast overseas with audio description, and yet in our own country we can't have access to that content.
Yeah, and even some of the programs I've noticed that come out on DVD have audio description on the DVD but not on the original broadcast. Where does that come from?
That's right. So the track's there already. Well, they come from overseas and they're imported from overseas, those programs. A lot of listeners will be aware that the ABC imports a lot of content from the BBC, and a lot of that has audio description, but the track isn't included at present, and there's no reason why it can't be. So there are technical barriers, we know that, but we also know that the ABC can deliver this service because they've delivered it in the past. They did the technical trial of audio description on broadcast television back in 2012, and sure, there were some complexities, but they were able to be resolved and worked through, and we had the service for 13 weeks before it was pulled out from underneath us.
When you consider that every other country is able to do it on broadcast television, why are we so far behind technically that we can't?
Yeah, and I think that's one of the interesting points on this is the government seems to be pushing the agenda of, if they implement audio description, making it available on a catch-up service only. So what we had with the 2015-16 audio description trial on ABC's iView, we don't think that's sufficient for the broader membership of our organisation. We know that there are significant data costs involved with that. I know myself when the iView trial was taking place, I only had access to a 4 gig download limit, and so I couldn't access a lot of the content during the trial because it was going to cost me a lot of money to do that, and there's a lot of members who are in a similar situation. We also know that download speeds or streaming speeds in some rural and remote areas aren't sufficient to enable people to access that content on an ongoing basis, so that would be a significant barrier for a lot of our members. And there's also just the fact that people want to be able to watch content with their friends and family. So if you can only access content via your smartphone or an iPad or something like that, it's going to be a lot harder for you to sit down and watch it with a friend or a family member. We want to have access to broadcast television at the time which is going to air. So we don't see why the needs of Australians who are blind or vision impaired should be treated any differently to those who are deaf or hearing impaired, and we're still advocating for a broadcast service, not a catch-up service. And I think that's why the government's dragging its feet. It's kind of questioning how long broadcast television will still be around for.
Yeah, I think that's true, but I think I still fail to understand why that makes us any different from anybody else. If everyone else can do it, why can't Australia do it? And, absolutely. I accept the argument about a catch-up service. I use a catch-up service. I don't watch free-to-air television, but that is my choice, and I have the capacity to do that. I recognise that there are significant issues with using catch-up TV, and in fact, sometimes it doesn't even work as expected a lot of the time. So it's one of those things that's a bit hit and miss. As soon as you're outside of your Wi-Fi network, you've got, as you said, Lauren, data costs and things like that. So free-to-air television is still by far the best way to go. And given Australia's geography, and free-to-air television has a history of getting access to much of the country, and that's by far the best way to provide an audio description service.
Absolutely, and I'm in the same position. I prefer catch-up services. I don't watch a lot of free-to-air television, broadcast television. But I think the bottom line for me is, if as long as broadcast television exists, it should be accessible. That
That's
is
right.
The bottom line. Catch-up services should be accessible as too. It's not a one-size-fits-all. We need to have both, but we need to start with broadcast television as the basis.
Now let's move from getting our signals around Australia to getting around New South Wales. There's some movement in relation to transport.
Yes, there absolutely is. So in New South Wales, the government requires all New South Wales government departments and agencies, as well as local councils, to implement and report on a disability inclusion action plan. And those action plans more or less outline discriminatory practices or accessibility barriers that might exist with New South Wales government services. And they outline strategies for how those barriers will be dealt with over a period of time to make services more accessible to people with disability across New South Wales. So Transport for New South Wales, they've currently released a draft disability inclusion action plan, and they're asking for consumer feedback on that action plan. And Blind Citizens Australia will be working with Blind Citizens New South Wales to prepare a written response to that draft plan.
And what steps are you taking to include responses from the public?
Yeah, so this is a very grassroots issue. Obviously, our members are using public transport services on a day-to-day basis, and we want to hear from members across New South Wales about their interactions with transport services. What's working, what's not, what could be working better, what are some of the solutions people would suggest might resolve some of the barriers that still exist. And we will be holding two teleconferences to try and gather that feedback from members of both Blind Citizens Australia and Blind Citizens New South Wales. The first will be on the 28th of August, which is a Monday. It'll be the Monday night, so from 8 o'clock till 9:30. And then the second teleconference is a daytime one. It will be on Thursday, the 31st of August, commencing at 1 p.m. and finishing up at 2:30.
And it's important to stress that this is for anybody in New South Wales, not just for people living in Sydney, because New South Wales is quite a big state and the transport situation is different everywhere. Having lived in regional New South Wales, I have first-hand experience on that one.
Yeah, that's right. And I did have an inquiry from a member that's based in Coffs Harbour in relation to private transport services. He was asking if he could still provide feedback because a lot of the transport services around Coffs Harbour are privately contracted. Mm. The answer to that is yes, because the New South Wales government still sets the requirements that those contractors need to follow. So regardless of what kind of transport you access on a day-to-day basis, if you live in New South Wales and you've got something to say on this topic, we'd really love to hear from you.
And how do we make our thoughts known?
All you need to do is contact me through the national office. You can reach me on the free call number 1-800-033-660, or alternatively, my email address is all lowercase, Lauren, L-A-U-R-E-N, dot Henley, H-E-N-L-E-Y, at bca.org.au. So all you need to do is get in touch with me, let me know which teleconference you'd like to register for. If by chance you're unable to make one of those teleconferences, I'm also happy to discuss any issues you have with public transport over the phone and we can take feedback that way.
Lauren Henley there from Blind Citizens Australia. Moving on now, Janine Sidhu from the National Women's Branch has been in touch to inform us that the next Women Talk teleconference will be happening on the 31st of August. They're talking about labelling and all things relating to labelling. So if you have some tips and some ideas on how to efficiently label clothes or food or anything like that, then you'll be most welcome on this teleconference. If you'd like to find out more information, you can get in touch with Janine or any of the Women's Branch Committee through the National Office. Give them a ring on 1-800-033-660, 1-800-033-660, or you can email nwb@bca.org.au. That's NWB for National Women's Branch, ironically enough, at bca.org.au. That teleconference taking place on the 31st of August. A few weeks back, we talked to Ricky Chaplin about audio description in cinemas, and the teleconferences for that have changed. The dates are not as I announced previously, so get in touch with the BCA head office if you think you'd be interested in attending those teleconferences. Of course, you'll already know this if you're already registered, but if you're unclear about anything, get in touch with the BCA head office and they'll be happy to help you out. They can be contacted once again on 1-800-033-660, 1-800-033-660. Email bca@bca.org.au. If you're keen to donate to Blind Citizens Australia or you'd like to find out anything about BCA's policies or items for discussion, then have a look at the website. And incidentally, all of the documentation relating to the upcoming convention in October is on the website. If you want to find out what BCA is up to and what they're doing at the convention and you're not a member and haven't already received your documentation package, I received mine just the other day. Anyway, by all means, have a look at the website, bca.org.au. There's plenty of interesting information. And as I said, you can also investigate how to donate to the organisation. It's important to note that if you're thinking about nominating for the board this year, have a look at the nomination form. What you need to provide, the information you need to fill out, etc., is all in that document. So have a look at that or have a look at the website for more information. I'm Vaughan Bennison. It's been a pleasure to have your company over the last 15 minutes or so. Do take care. Until next week.
We'll achieve the realization of our dreams, of our dreams.